Today I want to talk to you in this sermon series we've been preaching, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Godly People? One of the things that's abundantly clear from the Word of God and crystal clear from the life that you live and I live is that bad things happen to us. I don't know of anybody within the sound of my voice or the sight of my face that's not had bad things to happen to you. Many times when you become a believer, you become a follower of God, you become a child of grace, bad things might seem like they pile up on you. And as a godly person, you don't really know why bad things are happening to you. Well, we've been looking at different principles revealed from the Word of God as to why bad things happen to godly people. And today we're going to be talking about what I call the unforgiveness principle. What you're going to see from God's Word today and what's going to make sense in your life as it makes sense in my life is that there is a spirit of unforgiveness. There is a spirit of bitterness. There is a spirit of hatred that partners with the Python spirit, that partners with the Jezebel spirit, that partners with the confusing spirit to help pile bad things onto your life and mine. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want you to see how important the unforgiveness principle is in the spiritual realm. I want you to understand that forgiveness isn't between you and your offenders. Forgiveness isn't really between you and your abusers. Forgiveness is an issue between you and God. And God has decreed in His kingdom, and we'll see it in just a moment, that if you choose to be unforgiving, then He's going to turn the tormentors, the torturers, loose on your life. And bad thing after bad thing is going to get attached to you. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, but one whom you forgive, what? Anything. I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of whom? All right. Now, let's do a little numerical exercise together so far, all right? Let's look at what we've read and see how many times we see the word forgive or forgiven, all right? But once you have, somebody count, how many is that? Once you forgive, one, I forgive, how many? Two. For indeed, what I have forgiven is three. If I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ. So how many times in one verse does the word forgive or forgiven appear? Four times. How many of you get the idea that the issue here is forgiveness? All right, now four times he uses the word forgive or forgiven, and he's encouraging a group of believers. He's encouraging a group of people just like you or just like me to forgive somebody for anything. And he says, if you do it, I've done it. If I've done it, you ought to do it. And then we see a powerful so that phrase. Do you see the word so that? After he talks about forgiveness four times, he says the reason that we forgive, the reason you need to forgive is so that no advantage would be taken of us by whom? Do you get that, church? If somebody has offended you, if somebody has hurt you, if somebody has abused you, if somebody has wronged you, if somebody has done anything that's hurt your heart, hurt your body, stolen your possessions, if they've done anything to you, God says, forgive them. So that, old slew-foot, dirty dog, liar, Diabolos, snake himself, doesn't slither into your world and take advantage of you. And he says, the reason that we forgive, the reason that the one who has offended all of y'all is forgiven, is because we're not going to be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not what? Ignorant of his what? Schemes. Now the word ignorant means to be uninformed. It means to be unenlightened. It means to be uneducated. We're not uneducated. We're not unenlightened. We're not unaware of his, and that word schemes. Do you see that word schemes? That is a word that means intellect. It's a word that means disposition. It's a word that means device. It's a word that means thought. When you put it together, he says, we're not uninformed. We're not uneducated. We're not unaware of Satan's intellect, his disposition, his devices, his thoughts. And what are his thoughts, his intellect, his devices? He tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 that he's walking to and fro, back and forth, looking for somebody that he might devour and make miserable. And when he sees or causes somebody to offend you, to offend me, to hurt you, to hurt me, and you don't forgive from your heart, he slithers into your life and he says to Python, come on, and coil around this individual. And every time they breathe, you squeeze a little tighter and take some more life out of them. He says to confusion, you just coil yourself around their mind, and when they try to figure out why all of these bad things are happening to them, they'll be so confused about it, they don't connect the dots. And then he says to the spirit of hatred and the spirit of bitterness and the spirit of unforgiveness, you coil yourself around them so tightly that they won't even think anything about it when Jezebel gets control of their life and every circumstance and every situation in their life is controlled by bitterness, by hatred, by unforgiveness, and by confusion. All right, with that in mind, if that is in your mind, say amen. Amen. Let's move quickly then to Matthew chapter 18 and find out about the unforgiveness principle and the forgiveness issue. In Matthew chapter 18, we're going to find five simple things real quickly. Number one, I want you to notice the question that was asked. Talking about not being ignorant of Satan's schemes, and that why we need to forgive anybody of anything so that we don't get taken advantage of by Satan himself. And I want you to notice that one day the disciples were assembled around Jesus like you are and I am right now. And how many of you were in school? How many of you in a teaching environment? And there was always somebody in the class that would ask the question that you wish somebody would ask. You wouldn't raise your hand to ask the question, but you said, I sure would like to know the answer to this. Well, here Jesus is, and he's standing, and he's teaching, and Simon Peter asked a question. Let's look at the question that was asked. In chapter 18, verse 21 says, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, here's what you need to know about this question that was asked. You need to know the context in which it was asked. Jesus was teaching them about three things. He was teaching them about confronting a brother who's offended you. He says, if a brother offends you, if somebody hurts your feelings, if somebody does something wrong to you, then don't go and run and gossip about them. Don't let hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness and Jezebel control your life, and you go and you start slandering them. You go to them directly. And out of love, you say, you know, what you said the other day was an offense to me. You know, what you did the other day hurt me, but I want you to know in Jesus' name I forgive you. Or if you can't settle it, in an honorable way like that, you take a couple of more people with you that don't have an axe to grind, don't have a stump to stand on, that just want Jesus to be glorified and brothers and sisters or brothers and brothers or sisters to be unified. So the context of this question that Peter asked was Jesus' teaching about biblical confrontation. The second part of that context was about restoration. that Jesus is all about restoring broken relationships. And he says, hey, if you go to the one who offended you, who hurt you, who disappointed you, who wronged you, and you talk about that, and you want God to be glorified, and if God puts that back together, then you've restored a brother and you've restored a relationship. If it takes two or three more to come, your purpose is to put that relationship back together, to heal that wound. And then you restore it. And then the third part that he's teaching them about is forgiveness. Now, do you see the context there? And look at the question now in that context that it was asked. Your Bible says, then, see that word then? Then, after hearing Jesus talk about confrontation, after talking about restoration, and then after talking about forgiveness, Peter goes to Jesus separately. And he goes, like I go to Pastor Darrell here and said, Pastor Darrell, you know, you were teaching about that forgiveness thing. I agree with what you said. But here's my question. How many times do I have to forgive my brother when he offends me? Now, why do you think Peter came up with that question? I believe that Peter had a specific brother in mind. I believe that Peter had some issues with a brother that was continually abusing him or hurting him or offending him. And Peter, you know, not wanting to back down from a good fight, he said, I agree with what you said, but surely there is a legal limit to your logic. Surely there is a mathematical maximum to your mercy. So, Lord, if my brother has done this to me seven times, and if I forgive him seven times, surely that puts me at the right hand of the throne. That was the question that was asked. Look at number two. In that context, look at the answer that was given. Jesus said to him, hey, Peter, I appreciate your logic and your mathematical genius. But I say to you, the kingdom operates different than the world. And he says, I say to you, not up to seven times, but up to 70 times. Now, what he was saying was the times, and the principle was an unlimited amount of times. This is the perfection number. The law required him to forgive three times. Peter doubled what the law allowed and added grace into it to come to seven. But Jesus said, I want to tell you, this is not logic and this is not mathematics. This is kingdom. And Satan is looking for that eighth time. If you've got a built into your mind how many times you'll forgive somebody, guess what? You're going to have another one. And it's on that eighth one that Python's going to slither back into your life. And he says, but up to 70 times. Look at number three. Jesus didn't stop there. We see the question that was asked. We see the answer that was given. But now I want you to see the illustration that was shared. Jesus then took the answer that he gave and he illustrated it with a story. And he told him about a man. He told him about a man who was a businessman. And his investments hadn't been too good. And your Bible says that this man owed 10,000 talents. Now, what could we say in today's economy that would be? Can you say $15 million? Now, I would hope there would be somebody within the sight of my face or the sound of my voice that could repay a $15 million debt if you owed it today. Anybody here? We're taking volunteers, all right? But here was Jesus' point in this. Is what this 10,000 talents, what this $15 million represented was, it was an unrepayable debt. There was no way in this lifetime or 10,000 lifetimes this man could repay what he owed. It was an amount that was not forgivable or redeemable or satisfiable by the man. And so he goes to the man he owed the debt to, and he says, I would love to pay the debt. I just can't. Give me some more time, and I'll do the best that I can. But what happened was, the man that he owed the debt to said, you know what? I'm moved with compassion on you. I'm moved with favor to you. And I'm going to forgive your debt right here and now. Your what? The $15 million that you owed me, that amount that in 10,000 lifetimes you couldn't repay, it's forgiven. Paid in full right here and now. How many of you would like to have everything you owe forgiven right now? All right. Yes, sirree. Hallelujah. And how do you think, if right now, if Pastor Bobby had the authority and the ability to say every single debt that you owe is forgiven right now, and I want you to go and leave here as forgiven people, how do you think you would leave out here? Whoop, whoop. Let his glory cover the earth. Whoop, whoop. Now, you'd think that. But what did this man do? The Bible says as soon as he went out from the presence of his Lord, from his debtor, as soon as he went out there, he went looking for a man who owed him $15. Now he just owed $15 million and the man forgave it to him. It's paid in full. You don't owe me anything. It's done. You're legally free. You're financially free. You're morally free. You don't owe me anything. Nobody can use this against you ever again in your life. And he went out of there and he found a person that owed him $15. Now, if you'd just been forgiven $15 million and you found this lady that owed you $15, what would the logical reaction be? You know, Melody, that $15 that you owe me, I just forget about it. But you know what the man did? He said, don't you owe me $15? Do you owe me $15? Yeah. I want it. And then Melody is heartbroken because she's a woman of integrity. She's a woman of character. And it's within her heart to want to repay that $15. And she says, just give me some more time and I'll repay it. And he says, time? You've had all the time you're going to get. I want it right now. And then you know what your Bible says? He actually put his hands around her throat. Began to choke. Give me my $15. Give it to me right now. And then when he choked that person within an ounce of his life, he realized if I choke him to death, I'm never getting it. So he took his hands off his throat and did what the law allowed him to do. Threw him into debtor's prison and let the torturers torture him every single day for not paying his debt. And then, that's the story that Jesus used to illustrate forgiveness and unforgiveness. Now, let me show you the fourth thing. Look at the consequence that was revealed. His Lord moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Now, here's the consequence, verse 35. Jesus said, my heavenly Father will also do the same to who? You. What is the same that he'll do to you? He'll turn you over to the torturers. If you have somebody that offends you, hurts you, molests you, steals from you, lies to you, Does anything that causes an offense in your heart, if you do not forgive them, the consequence of your life is you're going to be turned over to the torturers. You need to say, no, what's up with that? I didn't do the wrong. They did the wrong. Why am I the one that's going to be turned over to the torturers? Because the big picture that we need to understand is what God is saying is He was the landlord that forgave the $15 million debt. And we are the one who owed the $15 million debt and had it forgiven. And what He's saying is, if I can forgive you of everything that you ever needed forgiveness for in your life, if I, who am thrice holy, can forgive you of your sin, if I can forgive you of your wickedness, of your evil, of your immorality, of all of your sin, and you tell me you can't forgive somebody else for whatever they've done to you, then I'm going to turn the torturers over on you until you learn to be like me and not like the devil. And so forgiveness is such a crucial issue because of our relationship with God. If you have been forgiven by God, then God says you have absolutely no right to be unforgiving to anybody for anything. The consequence that was revealed, my Father will turn you over to the torturers. Now, who are the torturers? They're demon spirits. Demons look for opportunity to get an advantage in our life. Demons look for rebellion in our life. And rebellion opens the door wide for demonic activity to come in. And just as soon as you choose to be unforgiving, then the demon comes in with a spirit of hatred, with a spirit of entitlement, with a spirit of unforgiveness, with a controlling spirit, you know, with a confusing spirit, and the confusing spirit twists in your mind and you begin to think you're right for being angry. You begin to think you're right for being unforgiving. You begin to think you're just in being mean. And the devil steals from your life from then on. Well, let me show you the fifth thing real quickly. And that is the choice that was required then is the choice that's required now. Matthew 18:35, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from where? Now look at that. He takes it from the third person to the first person. He says, if each of you, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your what? Heart. Now, I'm convinced through experience of 30 years of being a pastor and through biblical evidence that unforgiveness is the number one issue in the body of Christ. I'm convinced that most people who think they've forgiven people because they've said the words have never really forgiven from their heart. What does it mean to forgive from your heart? Forgiving from your heart is hard. Forgiveness from your heart gets down and touches the emotional hurt and hate of what was done to you. A forgiveness from the head is easy. Well, I forgive you, but I'm not forgetting it. Forgiveness from the head is just purely intellectual. But what has attached itself to your life has gotten down into the emotion, into the very spirit of your being. Forgiveness from your heart is not a feeling. Okay? Forgiveness from your heart is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a choice. It involves a crisis of the will. Do you see that word? Hey, if you felt like forgiving them, you'd already done it. If you wait to forgive the one that hurt you, you're never going to do it. Why? You don't feel like it. They don't deserve it. It's not about deserving. This is about requiring. God's requiring it from you. If you wait until you feel like forgiving the one who's hurt you, you're never going to get it. If you felt like it, you'd have come in here today having already forgiven them. You don't just wake up one morning and say, you know, I feel like forgiving my brother or my sister today. You know, it's just a good day to forgive my brother or sister. It's just a good day to forgive my scoundrel of a husband. It's just a good day to forgive that Jezebel wife I've got. It's just a good day to forgive that prodigal child that I must feel like it. No. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. And Jesus said, if you don't choose to forgive from your heart, then you're going to get turned over to the tortures, and they have no mercy. Feelings may not immediately change after you choose to forgive. But here's what changes immediately. Your freedom is gained immediately. When we do not forgive from our heart, we continue to pay the consequences of another person's sin in bondage to that person. It's like a ball and chain has attached us to them, and we still remember them every day of our life. We still think about what they did to us every day of our life. We don't move on. We don't heal. We don't know freedom. All we know is the bondage of our past, and there is no closure to what's happening. We've said 100 times, I forgive them, or we've said 2 times, we forgive them, but we've never overcome the crisis of our will and forgave from the heart. When you choose to forgive from the heart, you're still going to feel bad stuff. But instantly, you know you're free because God's given you the key to open the debtor's prison and to be released from the torturers in your life. Forgiveness is not even really between you and your offender. Forgiveness is between you and God. And you know that's really a good thing. Let me tell you why that's a good thing. It's a good thing because the one that you're having to forgive probably doesn't deserve it and may never even ask for it. You don't have to be asked to forgive to forgive. You have to choose to forgive. And you don't forgive the person for their sake. You forgive the person for your sake, so that you can be free. My goodness, how long are you going to stay chained to them? How long are you going to stay stuck in the past? How long are you going to stay in your hurt, your misery, your pain, your hatred, your bitterness, your resentfulness, and all of that? It's not between you and them. It's between you and God. They don't require you to forgive them. God does. And God says, if you're going to be like me, you're going to have to go down the dumpster. If you're going to be like me, you're going to have to forgive mess. You're going to have to forgive stuff. And you're going to be like me, you're going to do like I did for you, and I forgave you from my heart. And God says, I don't use it against you anymore. Look at the next principle. Here's the prayer that you need to utilize. Say, dear God, I ask you to bring to my mind any person you say I have not forgiven from my heart. All right, now let's stop there right now. What we're doing is we're asking God to bring to our mind any person He says I haven't forgiven. See, the spirit of confusion makes you think you have forgiven them. The spirit of control won't let you choose to forgive them because you feel you have forgiven them. But they're still messing up your life. Though it happened 34 years ago. Though it happened 27 years ago. Though it happened 13 years ago. And what you tell God now is, God, when I ask you to bring them to my mind, I will know that you say I have not forgiven them, and I will choose to forgive them right now. See, don't argue with God when you ask Him to bring somebody's name to your mind. You just say, I've just heard the voice of God. Now, let me tell you, somebody that's hurt you in your past, and you've just prayed this prayer, and God just brought them to your mind, why do you think that, why would you think the devil is doing that? Yeah. The devil wouldn't answer that prayer for you. The only thing that's going to happen by that name coming to your mind now and you agreeing to choose to forgive from the heart is you're about to be set free. Yeah. And the devil don't want to lose his advantage over you. The devil don't want you to be healed. He don't want you to be free. He don't want you to be blessed. So don't rationalize in your mind, oh, the devil's just trying to go dirt digging right now. No, you've asked God if He says you haven't forgiven somebody from your heart. And God brings their name to your mind and you agree with God. All right, now, when He brings your name to your mind, let's go back to the next slide up there, please, but the one is there. When you are ready to forgive your offender, here's two things not to do. When you're ready to forgive your offender from your heart, do not say, Lord, help me to forgive. Do not say, Lord, I want to forgive. Why? Because the Lord's already helping you. And when you say, I want to forgive, you're bypassing the hardcore choice of your own will. You have to simply choose to forgive. But forgiveness is hard because we pay for the sin that was committed against us. Forgiveness is hard because we seem like we're letting them off the hook. And in a very real sense, you are. You're letting them off your hook, but you're not letting them off God's hook. You see, your offender never seems to be dealt with by God, and God's not going to put them in two courts at the same time. Your court and His court. If you're the judge, why does God need the judge? If you're the jury, why does God need to be the jury? And even if God were to let you repay what was done to you, you could never do it adequately. We have to turn them over to God so that He can deal with them fairly, which is something we could never do. And we have to choose to forgive from our heart. The Lord's already helping you, and so saying, I want to forgive, bypasses the hardcore choice to forgive. All right, has God brought somebody to your mind? What I would encourage you to do is start writing names down. You know, that spirit of confusion is going to let you forgive 3 out of 4. And not even let you remember that fourth name that God brought up to you. But you write them down. You say, you didn't give me enough room on the paper. Get you another piece of paper. But the good thing about it, when you write the name down and you choose to forgive, it's a beautiful thing when grace lets you draw a line through that. Say, forgiven. 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 All right, I believe there's somebody who's ready to forgive from their heart today. Let's look at the prayer that you can use. Simply say, Lord, you don't have to say it right now. I'm teaching. I appreciate your willingness. I know you're going to be ready to get there. Lord, I'm going to choose to forgive. You just have pastor shut up. Lord, I choose to forgive, and then their name goes there. Their names go there, but you have to do them one at a time. You can't do a group forgiveness. Lord, I forgive them all. Wouldn't that be good? Lord, I just put them all in there. I forgive them right now. No, they hurt you individually, even if they did it in a group. You got to forgive them individually. Lord, I forgive, and put their name there. And then you got to be as specific as the offense was. And forgiving from the heart, you have to forgive not only what they did, but how it made you feel. How did it make you feel when they rejected you? How did it make it feel when they left you? How did it make you feel when they hit you? How did it make you feel when they abandoned you? How did it make you feel when they said the ugly, hurtful thing to you? That's a part of forgiving from your heart. You're not only forgiven what they did, but forgiven for what it did to you, how it made you feel. And then you stay with that person until God says you're finished with them. And if your forgiveness does not visit the emotional depth of your hurt, if your forgiveness doesn't visit the emotional hate of what the offender did to you, then whatever effort you're making to forgive will be incomplete. And you know what happens when we try to move on without going there emotionally and spiritually? Is basically we just cover dirt up on the rut that we caused. And a rut is just a 6-inch grave with the sides kicked out. And what happens is over time, somebody else comes along and covers you up in that rut of unforgiveness until dirt's over it. And then, because it's been a long time, then because you don't think about it and feel about it the way you used to, you think it's okay. But every now and then, in a place like this, in a service like this, an atmosphere like this, somebody starts digging in that dirt. And God's saying, I want to go there. Why does God want to dig up dirt? Because what's in there hadn't been buried properly. It's still alive. And God wants to resurrect it so he can crucify it. When he crucifies it, then three things happen to you. Forgiveness brings freedom to you. Forgiveness brings healing to you. Forgiveness brings closure to you. If you don't have freedom, if you don't have healing, and if you don't have closure, you don't have forgiveness. If you still are stuck in the past of somebody, of some offense a long time ago, you don't have the kind of closure that grace brings to you. You don't have the kind of closure that God's resurrection power brings to you. You say, well, if I forgive, will I never remember it again? Wouldn't that be good? Here's the beauty of forgiveness, real quickly, and we're ready for you to have the invitation. God says to you that when he forgives you, he remembers your sin no more. But let me tell you what remember means to somebody who's omniscient. You know, omniscient is they know everything all time. Remember means I'll never use it against you again. And when you forgive somebody, it's not that you don't remember it anymore. It just means you won't remember it or won't use it against them anymore. Now here's three spheres that you need to forgive in. You know, when it was saying, Lord, I choose to forgive. The first sphere, first category, are other people. There's other people in your life you need to forgive and ask God to bring them to your mind. Here's the second category. The second category is God. There's some of you that need to forgive God, as radical as that sounds. Really, what you're forgiving is thoughts you've had against God. Because God never does anything wrong. But it doesn't seem like that to us. And so we have thoughts against God that we use against Him. And we don't want to be intimate with Him. We don't want to serve Him. We don't want to be faithful to Him. So you've got other people that you need to forgive. You've got perhaps God or thoughts you've had against God you need to forgive. And here's the last one. Here it is. Hardest one of them all. Yourself. You need to forgive yourself. What do you need to forgive yourself for? Whatever it is, if you don't visit the emotional hurt and hate, maybe it's a choice that you made. Maybe it's a person that you chose to marry. Maybe it's a weakness that you demonstrate. Whatever it is, you've got to forgive yourself because God loves you as much as He loves the one He's asking you to forgive. God wants you not to use your past against you in the future anymore, all right? Are you ready to receive this? Why do we do this? So that Satan would not have an advantage over us. We're not ignorant of his thoughts, devices, strategies, or desires. Why do we do this? So we can be free. I can pretty well assure you the person you need to forgive doesn't deserve it, may not ask for it. They might even be dead and can't ask for it if they wanted to. But it's not between you and them, remember, it's between you and God. So you can be free today. And when you get free, your healing begins. And when your healing begins, closure is on the way.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, @truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.